Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, West New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Now, here's Sal Capaccio with Buffalo Bills head coach, Sean McDermott.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins me on the West Her Hotline here on this Friday morning. Good morning, coach. Happy Football Friday to you once again.
Good morning, Sal. Happy Football Friday. Looking forward to a great weekend here in Western New York.
Yeah, coach, I got here this morning and I told the story. They were already putting up this really, really big Christmas tree in our building, and it sparked a debate when the right time is to put up a Christmas tree. Are you on one side or the other? Do you care when the Christmas tree goes up, or do you have to wait a certain time?
I don't think so. I used to care, you know, hey, it's got to be, you know, make sure it's after Thanksgiving. But at this point, I think so many people are doing it whenever it works for them. And that's, I think, with everything that people have going on these days, that's probably about right.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then last night, speaking of Christmas, I have to tell you, I went to the Hallmark movie premiere last night, and you're in the movie. You have a nice scene with the lead actor, Matt D'Addario. What was that experience like for you going back several months and being a part of that?
Yeah, it was unique. It really was. You know, you never think you'd be in a situation like that. And then I think the unique part about it was also you get to look kind of behind the scenes of how movies are made and how that process unfolds. And, you know, it's not all that much different than when you're trying to win a game and the process leading up to a game. So pretty cool experience. I don't think they'll be asking me back for other movies. But very humbling in that way.
Yeah, it was cool. A lot of people came out last night in East Aurora. It was really great to see so many people and support the movie premiere. I'm glad there was a good segue by you, by the way, about the process of the week. I want to rewind a little bit to last Sunday. A lot's been made of what we heard in the locker room from some of your leaders and, you know, saying about the Dolphins, how well they came out and how they played and harder and things like that. You said you have a leadership council. You address that. How do you think your team has responded this week throughout practice and paying attention to the details and knowing, you know, how critical it is to be on top of everything?
Yeah, it's kind of getting back to, you know, true north and what leads to winning and all that goes into it. So we won't really know until we take the field Sunday here a couple of days. But at the end of the day, you got to have that process, got to have that mindset every week. This league is hard. It's hard to win one game regardless of records. And you got to go out there and earn it every week.
Bills Buccaneers Sunday at 1 p.m. at Highmark Stadium. All right, coach, you have 14 players listed on your injury report, but only a couple were DNPs yesterday. A couple were limited. Is there anybody you know will not play in the game on Sunday?
Yes, two guys. So it'll be Dalton Kincaid will not play, and then Fedarian Mathis, our D tackle, will not play either. Both will be out for this game.
Okay. How is Khalil Shakir? What is his status leading into today and the game on Sunday?
Yeah, he's heading in the right direction, should be in a good spot for the game.
And then the other one is Cam Lewis as well. He was the other limited guy yesterday.
Similar. Yeah, he's going to be going through it today. We'll be smart with him and see how he comes through today's practice and then on into the weekend.
You signed a notable player to the practice squad, a couple guys, Morgan Fox and Mecole Hardman, but I specifically want to ask you about Mecole. It's a player you're familiar with. You've gone against him from the defensive side of things. What can he bring to your football team, both from a practice squad standpoint, where he is now, and maybe even eventually if he's on the 53-man roster?
Yeah, we'll see where that part goes. You know, more than anything, you're talking about a wide receiver that also has dueled as a dual returner in his career. And, you know, like you mentioned, going against him and what he was able to bring to the table And so, you know, there's a lot that goes into it in terms of the reasons why. And, you know, some of it is the return game for sure. And then how every body on the roster counts in terms of what you can take into the game. So, you know, a player that has the ability to do the return game and also play a position and whatnot is beneficial. So we'll see where it goes as we head down the road here.
I think it's the third week in a row I've asked you about Gabe Davis, but he's obviously very intriguing, and he goes through the practice week. How do you think Gabe has responded? I know last week you guys put a little bit on him and you backed off him a little bit. How did this week go for him?
Yeah, he's had a good week. You know, he continues to get himself ready to go, and I really appreciate his steadfast nature in terms of him continuing to push and get himself back to where he wants to be.
And then last guy, and this is TJ Sanders, comes back from injured reserve. He's on the IR to return list. How did you feel that he responded in his first action back?
Well, you know, just one day at a time. And, you know, he's still a young player. He's missed a number of weeks now. So, you know, he's got to get caught up to where the team is, and we'll see where it heads into the weekend with his availability for us.
Coach Cole Bishop, I'm reading the Bills PR even put the stat out, which is pretty cool. It says he's the only player in the NFL this season to record 50 or more tackles, 2 or more sacks, and 2 or more interceptions. It feels like, you know, he's really just had a bit of a different trajectory here, maybe even since that interception in the New Orleans game and the confidence we talked about could build off of. And, of course, there's been some changes on the back end. How do you feel that Cole's trajectory, like I said, I'll call it, has kind of changed with him since he's been available, since he's been on the field getting the reps?
Well, it's part of the journey, right? And it's a journey that you hope heads in this type of trajectory, as you mentioned. And, you know, sometimes whether it was that one play, that one interception that kind of sparked him, maybe sparked his confidence, what have you. What I'm seeing now more than anything is his tenacious nature, the way he's playing physical, nasty, flying around, making plays in the run game, making plays in the pass game as well, and taking the ball away. So I love the trajectory he's on right now.
I really like what you said about Baker Mayfield earlier this week, and you know, how much respect you have for him, for what he brings, his attitude to the game, and his ability. Can you kind of just tell us about what you've seen on film from him and what he's been able to do for that Buccaneers offense so far this year?
Yeah, great player. Great player for our league. Heck of a competitor. Ton of respect for his game. You know, it's like one of those guys you grow up playing around with, but you're never on his team, and you're like, man, this guy's he's a winner. And I mentioned earlier, the Detroit Lions were in a game this year with him and his team, and they were up, you know, I think it was 2 scores or 1.5 scores, and it took them 19 plays on defense to end it because Baker kept making plays on fourth down after fourth down after fourth down. So I think that right there is a great example of who he is and what type of competitor he is.
One stat I ran across this week, which I thought was interesting, is your team has the second worst right now starting field position in the league. Actually, the worst of the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. And I think about that, and it's like, well, you could have a turnover in the other end. You could have a punt return that bounces a certain way. Those are hidden yardages, though, right? That's hidden yardage that you guys like to talk about a lot. Can you kind of tell us what goes into just thinking about all those little things and maybe the difference even of a 3-4 yard drive start and how it could end?
Yeah, you're right. It's in the margins. The league is so competitive week to week. You know, we saw that last week. We're reminded of it. And, you know, whether it's special teams in this case or other parts of the game, every play matters. Every last play matters. And that's part of educating our young players in that regard as well. And this league is what it is for a reason. So every play matters. Field position matters. Every blade of grass in this case matters. And so that return game or what have you, that's factoring into that is important for us.
All right, Coach, you get back home here for the Buccaneers. We're going to have Pat Hammer on a little while to give us a weather update, but it should be a little bit more Buffalo type of weather here for a game for a team coming up from Florida. How important is Bills Mafia to get back inside that stadium for a Sunday 1 p.m. game for you guys?
Yeah, we look forward to it. Every time we can get around home and play in front of them, and this is unique. This place is special for a reason, and they're a big part of that.
Sean McDermott, thank you very much, and good luck on Sunday. We'll talk to you next week, a little bit earlier next week, but we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great, Sal. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That is Sean McDermott. And
at Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good news.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com by Northtown Volkswagen, Western New York's number one VW dealership. Shop online at northtownvw.com and by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high impact footwear and apparel for hardworking men and women.
Chris Brown joining us on the Western Hotline. We've got a Sunday 1 o'clock game from Highmark Stadium. Bills and Bucks, and the Bills would like to win this one to keep pace with the leaders of the division, the New England Patriots, who won last night. Chris, good morning. Happy Football Friday. Glad to have you on today.
Our second movie star of the day, by the way.
Oh, he's in Holiday Touchdown, too?
He is on Holiday, yeah. Of course he is.
Wait a minute. We got a bone to pick. Joe told me that in the movie, they're listening to the radio 8 in the morning, and you and Tasker are on in the movie. And all I'm saying is, if we're going to do that, you guys should fill in for a day, and we'll take a day off.
Yeah, we might have to do it on your FM dial, though, because you'll hear in the movie, Steve kind of tosses to an old music ditty.
So. Oh, right. That's right. That is right. You're right. Yeah. It's like a music station.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah, at least that's the insinuation, when Steve tags that line there in the scene. Yeah. So, yeah, a little bit of narration from us.
So,
we try to help people through the movie a little bit, and then, you know, we get to the stadium and don't blink. I'm on the camera for about 2 seconds. So.
All right. Well,
still in the game.
We need a few holiday touchdowns. I don't know. This is a pretty rough segue. I mean,
there you go.
We need a Buffalo love story. We need something here. Chris, you know, you've been talking to the fans this week. People are a little down and really starting to worry about the season. Of course, the division is very much in doubt. And this week's opponent is a big test. So I feel like it's an important spot for the Bills, and I don't think I would be sneezing at any kind of win here because Tampa presents a good challenge.
Yeah, both teams 6-3. Both teams, I think, with capable offenses that can score points. And the Bucs might be getting some pretty important reinforcements this week, depending on how their final injury report shakes out, with Bucky Irving and Chris Godwin working their way back to playing again. I mean, Irving's missed the last 5 games, but he's starting to practice again. So we'll have to see what their Friday injury report final status holds for those two players, because that would give them two pretty important weapons. For the last several weeks, they've been relying largely on their young receivers, Cameron Johnson, Tez Johnson, and obviously Emeka Ebuka, who's been fantastic for them right out of the chute. So they have weapons even in the absence of Godwin, you know, and Bucky Irving. Rashad White's a capable backup. So they have people to turn to. They've been leaning on Baker a lot, though. In the absence of Bucky Irving, they have had trouble running the ball with consistency. So they've leaned on Baker to kind of carry them. And they've kept a lot of their games close. They haven't pulled them all out, as we saw last week. Couldn't pull one out against New England. That would have been nice if they could have helped Buffalo a little bit with that. But I think what's most interesting about this matchup is you got two quarterbacks from the 2018 draft class who I think are cut from the same cloth. Guys that just have this burning passion to win. Two quarterbacks that are very easy to fall in line behind and follow. I mean, these guys are undisputed leaders of their teams.
Yeah. What do you make of Baker being at this point in his career? Because it was going off the rails. I mean, when once he gets kicked out of Cleveland, he's on a couple of different teams to where now, like McDermott, I thought was really good early in the week on him, Chris, and like how he's made it to this point. And now he looks like a quarterback that you could definitely build around and win big.
Yeah, he's finally found a fit for him, which is, you know, good to see. It was hard not to feel for him because I still remember, you know, that guy's gutting it out with, you know, basically a popped shoulder capsule and mm-hmm. playing football for the Browns on a team that's going absolutely nowhere, no playoff aspirations, and he's literally putting his body on the line and wincing in pain every time he hit the ground, and they reward him by getting rid of him. So, you know, I guess the Browns deserve what they get win-loss-wise, you know, when you treat mm-hmm. your players like that, but far be it from me. In any event, like, you know, so he bounces around and lands in Tampa, and yeah, it's a good fit for him. They clearly like him down there, signed the 3-year extension, so, you know, he's got his fit, and off he goes. And I'm just, I'm curious to see how the Bills choose to defend them. Obviously, they're going to have to stop the run first, especially if Bucky Irving's playing, but how do they choose to deal with Baker? Because he has been scrambling around a lot to try to extend plays. Their offensive line is getting a little bit healthier. It looks like their right tackle, Gedeke, is going to be back in the lineup here, if not this week, certainly next week. So their line is getting healthier. Wirfs is back after missing the first month of the season. So I want to see what the pass rush plan is and then how they choose to rush him. Are they going to go with a cage rush, or are they going to be, you know, pinning their ears back and rolling? So I think the defensive plan with a defense that, thank goodness, is finally getting healthier is something that intrigues me for this one.
Yeah, Chris, I wonder how often the rush plan we saw them use against Patrick Mahomes, how often they would kind of go to that, because, you know, Baker's crafty outside of structure, just like Patrick Mahomes is, and if they wanted to kind of implement that three-man rush and the spy or, like, the guy who drops out just kind of is a little bit late there, it feels like it might be something that they could go back to and not just be like a one-off.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think they would deploy Dorian Williams, you know, as a true pass rusher, like they did in the Kansas City game, you know, better athlete, faster athlete, somebody who can run him down even in open space, you know, and is not going to get faked out on a pump fake. So yeah, I'm curious to see if they, you know, they go to that well again and try to incorporate some of those elements into the game plan for Baker this week.
What do you think the offense looks like without Dalton Kincaid? We're going to get probably a couple of weeks looking at that, and this is our first.
Yeah, I'm very curious because I think they're going to have to shuffle the deck a little bit in terms of the receiving targets. I think Khalil Shakir is very iffy, guys. I mean, he's been in a red non-contact jersey each of the last 2 days. He's been limited. And I think you have a real question you have to ask yourself here, because you obviously want to win this game. You have to, you know, you want to keep pace or at least try to stay within striking distance of the Patriots, but you also have a game in 5 days.
Yeah.
You know, you're playing Thursday night at Houston. That's also a conference game. And the last time the Bills played down there without Shakir, we know how that went. So I think there's a very interesting decision here at the end of the week for the Bills to make on Shakir. I think if they believe he can get very close to 100% 4 or 5 days from game day, I think there's a realistic chance they sit him down on Sunday. So now you're talking no Kincaid, no Shakir, the two people who the passing game literally runs through not being part of the equation.
Right.
I think Gabe Davis is probably elevated from the practice squad and up this week. And there might be some other changes. Who knows? I just think it's going to be a very – I have a feeling it's going to be a very different-looking receiving core on Sunday, knowing Kincaid is unlikely and Shakir is a major question mark.
Right. What's interesting about that is if Palmer is available and Davis is elevated, then suddenly, Chris, it looks like you've got reinforcements on the outside, which has maybe been the struggle in the last couple of weeks for the Bills, but now you're losing guys that went over the middle of the field. So who steps up there? Because that could be Knox a little bit. That could be Samuel, or it could be, I mean, you could just move guys around, right? Palmer could play slot. I don't know about Gabe. Maybe Coleman could. it's an area of the field where that's kind of where Kincaid and Shakir have lived, and if they're the two that are out, then maybe it could be anybody that would move in there.
Yeah, I mean, I would think Samuel's kind of a primary Shakir answer. Maybe it's more. And then do they experiment with Coleman in the slot? You know, an area where he has some familiarity, having done that at Florida State. Can they move him inside to put a big target in there for Josh over the middle and see maybe how he does in a different role rather than outside, where, you know, it's been feast or famine with him quite literally all season long. So maybe a change of alignment and assignment can maybe unlock him a little bit. I'm curious to see if they would experiment with that with him inside, but we'll have to wait and see. But I think Knox is a part of that equation. Josh clearly trusts him. And, you know, we'll see if Joe Brady decides to deploy Samuel in Shakir's spot if, in fact, he doesn't play.
Do you think, Chris, we might see a little more emotion from Josh this week? People have kind of picked up on him sitting on the sidelines, and whether he does that win or loss. Like, I wonder if the Bills are maybe going to look to him, ask him to do a little bit more to kind of keep the juice going. I thought it was interesting when McDermott was talking about Baker Mayfield this week that he said, you want to be great at something, you got to bring an attitude to it every day. And not to say, like, Allen doesn't do that behind the scenes, but the public front-facing sideline stuff, I just wonder if they might ask him to do more, if he might feel like there's a bit of an urge to do more right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think Josh is the kind of person who manufactures that artificially. I think he's very organic with his emotion and leadership, and I think it stems from when the offense is making plays. That's what gives him juice, and then you see that outward expression of emotion from him at that point in time. To do that, you know, before the game starts, we know he huddles them up in the tunnel before the game, but it's relatively, you know, even keeled. And I think it takes action and plays that have happened in the game to really get him going and light the fire, so to speak. So I think you have to hope the offense kicks into an early rhythm. I will say there have been times where one of the quietest guys on the team is rallying the troops. And it's very subtle, but I've noticed it a handful of times this season. James Cook will grab somebody on occasion and just say something to them. You can see him leaning over and saying something to a lineman or to a tight end in the huddle. There are times when he's gestured to the sideline after he runs for, you know, 15 and 20 and says, you know, keep giving it to me. Keep giving it to me. I think he's kind of an underrated juice guy for this team. As we know, he doesn't say a lot, but some of his actions through the course of this season, I think he feels more comfortable as an offensive leader for this team with his production this year. Keep an eye on him between plays and between series, because there's some subtle things that he's doing to try to get his teammates fired up.
Chris Brownhill at the call of the game Sunday from Highmark Stadium. Bills and Bucks as the Bills look to move to 7-3. Thanks, Chris. Have a great call, and we'll see you Sunday.
All right. Enjoy the game, guys.
His appearance brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Northtown Volkswagen, Western New York's number one VW dealership. Shop online at northtownvw.com. And by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women.
Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
All right, hour number two here on a Thursday. One Bills Live, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, joined in studio by the Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas. Good to have you back, Thurm. Feeling better? You were a little under the weather last week, right?
A little under the weather, but
you sound good.
Yeah, I sound better.
Feel
yeah,
better?
Yeah, I feel better. Okay, just good. I've been relaxed
okay
all week, ever since after the game.
Okay.
haven't looked at anything.
Oh, okay.
Haven't went through anything. No social media. I haven't done no social media.
You don't take calls?
No.
I know we did.
We took some calls.
I know you guys have. And boy, yeah. I tell you what, it is. And I think even before we start talking about it or whatever, you know, I'm thinking about this Tampa Bay game, right? And big game for them.
Why?
Because they know they got the Rams next week.
Yeah, but they're 6-2.
It doesn't matter. It does not matter.
They got
a good football team. They really got a good football team. And right. Hey, I love Todd Bowles. I think he's done an excellent
too.
Job.
I like him.
And I'm a huge, even though I went to OSU, I'm a huge Baker Mayfield fan. I love Baker.
Yeah, okay.
I love Baker. So
yeah, that's saying something.
I know that really.
I like a guy from Oklahoma.
Here's the thing, though. If they need to win this game, they're going into Rams. You think, man, that's a hard game to win. They lost to the Patriots last week. They don't want to lose the Bills, and then the Rams, like three games.
They don't want that
losing streak. They gotta get a win.
Okay. So I just think the energy that the Dolphins came out with, Tampa's going to come out to that, and we're going to have to match it. And it's not going to be okay. It has to be somebody besides Josh Allen and James Cook.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be. And I don't know.
If you had to pick somebody.
I know. And that's hard for me to say, like, who to pick because we're in 12 and 13 all the time.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't look like Kincaid's going to play this week with the hamstring injury.
Yeah. So
Palmer looks like he's coming back. He's practicing fully. So after missing three games, looks like he'll be back. Maybe that's your guy.
Yeah, but will that formation be able to do that all game long?
Right.
I mean, because they haven't really done it.
Yeah, it's a valid question.
Because they haven't really done it. So, I mean, you're hoping that the running game will be back on par again. But if it doesn't, you know, what are we going to fall back on?
Yeah, what do you pivot to?
What do you pivot to? You always have to have, like, a plan B and sometimes a plan C, too, where it could be all the receivers out. I mean, you're just going open formation with
10 personnel
and just going at it, you know, and having Josh throw it 50. So, what is it that the Bills are going to bounce back with? That's what I want to see. I want to see something different from them.
It seemed like early in the season, and when they do play their best, yeah, they have multiple ways to beat
them.
They could obviously can run the ball. They're the number one rushing team in the league. They threw the ball really well in some of the games coming up, although they never really aired out, right? But they can beat you with the pass, right? And then, of course, Josh can put the cape on. That's always an option as well. And then they beat you when he does his thing. So there's all those different ways they can beat you. It seems as though now, when they really want to, it's hard to turn on and off. The passing game didn't show up last week like they wanted it to. When the run game was taken away, they struggled to throw it and do it consistently. And Josh was running around back there. And they were in 3rd and 16, 4th and 17. I'm like, what are you, you know? They're going, you know, when the game's on the line, it's 4th down and 17, and they're still going for it. You know it's bad. It's last ditch effort.
Yeah.
It just seems like some of the answers aren't as easy to turn on when they need them.
No, they're not. They're not. I mean, what, 4 or 5 weeks ago? I mean, the Bills were kind of the odds on favor to go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, and that's how quickly it's falling off. So, look, when have we seen Josh be Josh? I mean, how many 300-yard games does he have this year?
Week one, and last week, 307 yards. Yeah,
okay.
Week one and last week.
But in between that has been, what, 250, 213?
Not even that, right? Right.
So, to me, I think they just need to open up the offense a little bit more. We don't even see Josh really scramble anymore.
Right.
I mean, you know, that is a part of his game. And what that tells me is that the linebackers are saying, okay, we're not going to drop back that far. They're not dropping back that far because I think on the edges, the wide receivers, they're not running deep routes. So why would you take that? You can take that chance. I mean, we haven't seen any deep balls since training camp.
Unless Josh is making an off-script play, we don't usually see a throw deep down the field in the last several weeks.
I mean, the only big plays they made in the passing game last week were ones on off-script plays.
Yeah.
With Josh running around back there waiting for somebody to get open somewhere.
I mean, if that's what we got to do, that's what we got to do.
I know, but you can't, tell you, but you can't live that way.
You can't live that way. No, you can't. But let me tell you something. You remember when, like, Josh was, like, 3-4 years ago? I mean, 4,500 yards passing.
Yep.
47 mm-hmm. passing. Yep. I mean.
Different coordinator.
Right. And then, different coordinator. And then maybe 35 touchdown passes along with 12 rushing touchdowns.
Right.
But he also had, what, 10 to 12 picks, too.
Picks, yeah. Well, when you throw the ball more, you're going to have more interceptions. Well,
let's do that. Because yeah. I think that's when Josh is at his best. That was, when he throws the ball more, and then you have those linebackers, and then he creates a whole different problem for defenses.
I find this very interesting that Thurman has come around to this way of thinking, because it was just a short time ago when Thurman was all about running the football more, and now we've done a complete 180, Steve, in a matter of 10 Brownie, weeks.
It's obvious that the apocalypse is upon us when Thurman is calling for him to throw the football more.
Yeah. And Thurman, you'll enjoy our podcast this week, Bills by the Numbers, because Steve and I went in depth on what the Bills have done on first down this season. They are 58.5% run on first down.
Really?
What I think it's that's number one in the league. 4 years ago, the offense you're referencing, the Bills were number one in the league passing on first down. And you prefer that with Josh to this.
Right now, yeah.
Okay.
I need to see more Josh.
Okay.
That's all I'm
just
saying.
Checking.
I need to see more Josh.
I usually don't see you in this place.
But if I see more Josh, I'm gonna still see more. I'm going to still see more Cook too. Yeah, I know.
Are you wearing a Thurman Thomas suit over there?
What have you done with the real Thurman Thomas? That's all I want to know.
I want to see my boy Josh.
I don't even know you anymore.
I mean, he's.
So in your estimation,
we are so desperate that Thurman Thomas is calling for us to throw the football. We are in desperate times right now.
So
at 6-3,
I just think Thurman is echoing what a lot of fans feel, which is they feel this offense has kind of put restrictor plates on Josh Allen and what he does best, right? Is that your feeling?
Yeah.
He's kind of been held back a little bit.
When's the last time he jumped over a DB? Come on, man. That's what I want to see, man.
You guys are missing that, man.
We're still showing the highlight of Josh jumping over the guy from Minnesota. That was 5 years ago.
He's retired.
Exactly. Yeah. We need to see this now. We need to see it now, man.
I think... I think Josh has still got that under the hood, no question. There's a lot of football to be played.
A lot of it.
And I think the Bills, rightfully so, know that they can't live like that all the time. But they got to feel like, and I think all of us feel like that, Josh is still that guy. I mean, he's the dude. He's the defending MVP for a reason, and I still think he's got all of that under the hood. I really believe this team thinks it's got to prove to itself and to everybody that they can beat you other way. And certainly the number one rushing offense in the league is a big step towards that. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to be a complete football team.
Right.
I think the injuries, oddly as it sounds to me, the injuries on their defense have compromised their abilities to play the offense they really, really want to play or can play with Josh, because they can't run the K gun because they got to dominate time of possession. They can't put that other offense out on the field with a depleted roster on that side of the ball that the Bills defense is experiencing. So I think they're really trying to find ways to win and still play that time of possession game. Certainly the running game's a big part of it, and it's got to remain part of it. But if they're going to do that, we've been talking about this all day, you can't turn it over.
If they wouldn't have turned it over in
the Atlanta game, the New England game, or the Miami game, if they don't turn it over in any of those games, they win all three of them, and they're 10-0 or 9-0. But they turn it over, and they can't overcome that.
Right.
But that's kind of where they're at right now. They are running the ball, winning time of possession, and the only thing that gets in their way is themselves by turning it over. I don't think they're uncomfortable in a close game.
No, I don't think they're uncomfortable.
They're not uncomfortable in a close game, and they're fine to play this kind of football until they can get their figure their defense out, get enough guys back to know, like, all right, this is going to be us down the stretch. Now let's turn it loose.
Well, I tell you what, we need to just start turning it loose or going back to doing it because, I mean, our defense is they're hurting right now.
They are.
They are hurting right now, and, hey, you know what? I don't think the defense would mind if we had – two plays and went 80 yards and scored a touchdown.
Right.
I don't think they would. I think that would energize them a lot, you know. And, hey, I know they're injured, they're depleted, but, hey, sometimes those things have to happen on a football field. You can't just get the ball and just drive every drive 12 to 15 plays every season. You just can't do
that.
You need some bigger plays.
I don't know that the Bills believe they got those.
Well, I tell you what.
You know, they guys, listen, we can't count on that. We don't know if we got the guys to do that.
Hey, look, I tell you what.
That might be an addition.
Joshua Palmer is coming back this week, right?
Yeah.
Curtis Samuel, he needs to start performing better. I thought coming into the season, like, I was going to see more of Elijah Moore.
Right.
And I haven't seen him. So, nope. I mean, they still have guys that nobody has really – I mean, they've been around the league and people have saw him, but in this offense, let's – try to get those guys involved.
The passing game is going to have to change to some degree this week because you're probably not going to have Kincaid. Shakir is nursing a rib injury. This passing game has largely gone through those two guys.
Right.
One of them you're probably not going to have, and the other one might be a little gimpy.
Yeah.
You better have other answers this week in the passing game.
You might see more of Ty and James Cook in the game. I mean, that could be a possibility, right?
I've been talking about throwing to the backs more for the last 3 weeks.
Backs have been open all week, all year.
If you're not getting what you need down the field or at the third level, use the backs in the passing game as an extension of your run game. It just looks different, and you got them out in space already. So,
and I mean, that's what
happened.
When's the last
time we saw a wheel route?
I mean, Cooks ran a couple of wheel routes or in the flat routes.
Yeah, flat
against
routes.
Miami. Yeah,
and he caught some checkdowns.
He caught some checkdowns, but I think you still need those type of plays.
Yeah.
In an offense because you're not throwing the ball downfield, and Kincaid is going to be out again probably. Yeah, it's up in the air, but look, start making some plays. That's it, and don't turn the ball over. I mean, seriously. I mean, start breaking some tackles, man. I have no idea what it is, you know. Catch a hitch and take it 75 yards. I have no idea what it is. But
Shakir has a couple of those this year.
So.
I'm with you. I still like these guys.
Right.
I'm kind of like, and I don't think that's just lip service. Mm-hmm. Certainly, Brandon, it's been reported and true. He was on the phone trying to get some guys and make them better at the deadline and had a deal, you know, and they got stabbed in the back and, you know, ownership stepped in, wouldn't do it, the whole thing.
Well, that's good that nobody wants to trade with you because they're scared of you, right?
So, I still think they do believe they can do it with the guys they got in the room if they can get them healthy. Now, certainly, Ed's off the table, and so
is
Hoyt.
Well, at least until playoffs. Hoyt's done.
That, right. You know, those two guys are crusher because that would really change things, not just for their pass rush, but on the back end of the defense as well. So I think they're going to have to battle with that the rest of the way. But I still do I'm still high on what this team can do and what it's got under the hood offensively, but they do have to tap in on it.
Yeah.
Bucky Irving is a maybe.
Maybe.
This week. He just started – practicing on a limited basis yesterday, has missed the last five games with shoulder and foot injuries. It's not looking great for Godwin, but he's limited in practice as well with a fibula injury. Are you familiar with Bucky Irving's game?
A little bit.
He's pretty dynamic.
He's pretty good,
you want to talk about somebody that breaks tackles? That guy does.
Yeah, he does.
And knowing how the Bills are still trying to fit their run defense together, if he plays – that could be an issue.
It could be an issue. I mean, it's been an issue, really, since the first game of the season. You know? I mean, we get these teams that if they got a decent back and a pretty physical offensive line, I mean, and we got some youngsters up front, too, that were pushed into this situation. So, this Tampa, they're going to want to run the football. And they're going to want to stop our running game because I think that's how our defense is built. So, I've always liked Bucky, man. And I hope he stays on the sideline. But, yeah, he's a burner. He can take it to the house. He's like Cook. He can take it to the house at anywhere on the football field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of those fast Oregon players.
Yeah. So, hey, I'm –
We'll see how the rest of the week goes for him. Yesterday was just a walkthrough, so he was kind of walking through, taking handoffs and stuff. It might be some gamesmanship by the head coach. We don't know.
Is Mike Evans playing?
No, he's on IR.
He's out? Oh, he's on IR.
He's on IR. Godwin's iffy this week. And McMillan still is out with the neck injury that he got in the preseason. So they're relying on young players. Abuka. They still have Sterling Shepard. Abuka. And then they've got Cameron Johnson and Tez Johnson, who's that 165-pound beanpole, but he runs like a deer.
Yeah.
That guy had a touchdown against the Bills in the preseason game.
Yeah.
Back in August, I remember. So, yeah, they've got young guys they're relying on now. Kate Otten's not a bad tight end either, so.
Excuse me.
They can bring it.
And all this is coming, I think, kind of we were forgetting. I mean, and then we got a game Thursday.
Well, yeah. On the road,
I mean,
too.
On the road. Yeah. I mean, it's
a tough stretch. I mean,
and that Houston defense in their building.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, this is
– big time pass rush.
You look at our schedule. I mean, it's what? We got 8 games left, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we played nine, got 8 left.
We got to win at least 5 or 6.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Well, Steve and I were talking about it. I mean, you look at the Patriots. They play tonight against the Jets, and then they have the Bengals and the Giants,
right?
And then a bye before they play the Bills. Bills have Bucks, and then they have Houston on a short week next week. You know, so just those two alone are tougher than the next 3 for the Patriots.
Right.
So
it's. Yeah, you want to get healthy, but I mean it's going to be a dogfight.
You probably have to win the next 4 going into the Patriots game.
Yeah,
have a shot at them.
Yeah,
yeah.
You may still be trailing them.
Could still be trailing them all the way to that point.
But then they have Baltimore after they play
Baltimore
Buffalo.
After Buffalo,
you're hoping the Ravens need that game because they're still playing a little bit of catch up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough week, man.
Burrow is probably going to be on the field against Buffalo for Cincinnati.
By the time they play him.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Yeah, his arm is good and ready to go.
Well, it's his foot that was the problem.
He got 2 top-notch receivers. Just throw it up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Exactly. So, yeah. But, hey, man, look. Like Herm Edwards would say, that's why you play the game.
Yep.
You figure out who's ready and who's not and what do you need to do different to win football games. That's what – this league is all about. It's what it's built on. And hey, look, we still have one of the better players in the National Football League in Josh Allen. We still got James Cook. Other guys need to step up. That's basically it. Not for the rest of the season, but maybe for just 1 game or 2 games until we get healthier. I don't know who the backups are, what's going on now, but no, it's we've seen Cole Bishop step up.
I was going to just ask you, what do you think about the guys on the back? Mm-hmm. Young kids, you know, Max Harrison.
Yeah, Max.
Jordan Hancock's getting a little splashing. More playing time.
Hancock's getting a lot of playing time. Right?
A little more, anyway.
Yeah, a little bit more. So, hey, they're getting better on the back end, which could be in our favor. They're doing a lot of things. If they can be anywhere close to, like, Jordan Poirier and Micah Hyde were 7 to 8 years here, getting to that level, that would be great. So, you have that, the back end. You got the middle end. Bernard's not healthy. I saw a play where he was limping, like he was kind of struggling running, and I think it's still from that hamstring, right?
Yeah, he hurt it in
training camp, right? Is this the same hamstring?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so we just need to get some guys healthy. I know these guys want to play well. They want to go out and do a great job, man, because they know that the city around here is behind them, and we just want to see them do well.
Yeah.
Thurm, thanks for stopping in. Appreciate it as always.
Yep.
Be at the game on Sunday?
Oh, absolutely. I got to go out and try to find my boy Baker.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Some Oklahoma, Okie State love. You don't see that very often.
No, I won't say anything about Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, but.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate it as always, Thurm. Enjoy the game on Sunday. That's the Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas joining us. We'll get back to the phones when we return here on a Thursday edition of One Bills Live. Stay with us.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everything.
everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's my show.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
We're on from a pizzeria tomorrow. You're the expert.
Giddy up.
But let's say we're lucky enough to be handed.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like a pizza to share? But no half and half. Would we have to discuss what to get on this pizza tomorrow? Would it be a process? Would it be easy?
I looked at their menu today just out of curiosity. I wanted to check out, do a little scouting report on where we're going, see if I get any idea what the place looks like inside. It was mostly just pictures of the food in their gallery. But their white pizza on the menu caught my eye.
Okay. See, this is the problem. This is why we'll get back to this. Sure. Nothing against it. I love it, but I'm not sure if I have one call here. It's that. Joining us now on the – would you like to weigh in? T.J. Reeves joining us now on the West Her Hotline, sideline reporter for the Buccaneers who visit Buffalo on Sunday. It's supposed to be kind of dreary and maybe a little bit wet. Hopefully that's not too much of a problem. T.J.
Do I get in on this?
Want to?
Question. I've been listening off stage here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, so I believe I've explained this before. Capaccio knows this. And first of all, where is he? He's on in like an hour?
He's on next hour, yeah. Well, covering practice.
I understand.
We didn't want him to hog the segment with you. So
right.
Here's the key.
He can't be golfing right now because it's already practically dark there, right?
Yes.
Because it gets darker there quicker right now in the Eastern time zone.
And raining and cold. And, yeah, there's a number of reasons why he's not golfing.
So the unelected mayor knows my situation in that I have got 17-year-old twin girls. And so you don't know from whence you speak when we go to order a pizza right now. It's like a nuclear arms summit between all of the countries of NATO trying to figure out, okay, can we have something in common that your wife, that my wife, your mother, and I might want to eat on the pizza, and you two can't even agree. So typically right now we're ending up as like a three pizza family where they will get like the medium or the personal and they disagree. And then the wife and I just have to do our own thing. So the short version would be, this is a debacle in my house to be at the pizza joint with you two tomorrow.
It's a negotiation. Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have two.
Life itself is a negotiation. I might have mentioned they're 17. We've got hormones. We're looking at colleges. They each want their own car. You're twins. You have all the same friends. You go to the same school. They even work at the same place. Why do you need two different cars? How did we get on this tangent? Can we get back to the Bills and the Bucks?
Almost. I'm almost ready.
I have a lot more to say about white pizza, but I'll save it for later in the show, TJ, not to waste your time.
I'm enjoying your commentary too much to leave the subject just yet. I have two teenagers and a wife who's a vegetarian, and maybe one of my kids is about to become a vegetarian. What I do usually, because we're separated so often, is I'll just buy too much pizza, and then when it happens, I'm told, why did you get so much pizza? And right. My answer is because I want to eat it, one. So I'm getting enough for me, probably over the span of 2 days. And then after
that's
that.
A boss move. You know, that is a boss move, and I applaud that. I love that.
I'm doing it for me. And then, you know, you guys get it. You'll have enough. This way, nobody's hungry. That's it.
And by the way, one more next level thing, and then we'll get to the football, obviously. I'm paying. And so if I'm buying this, I'm going to get what I want.
Right.
I'm going to buy what I want and how much I want. I love that.
Same. I'm not wasting half a pizza on cauliflower. I'm sorry. I'm just not.
Exactly.
All right.
We did not come here to battle and have somebody end up with olives and somebody else end up with cauliflower. Exactly.
All right, TJ. Well, to business, to business. State of the Buccaneers here going into week 11. It's maybe a little bit, I'm not sure the Bills themselves are this, but I think in terms of the fan base, we're a little bit frazzled at this point. Two teams that have won their respective divisions years running. What are the Bills getting in the Bucs?
That's a good question. I think the Buccaneer word right now would be smarting, as in not thrilled, as in New England got this team last week, just like they got the Bills earlier in the year. But, I mean, the Bucs have gotten off to a really good start. They have only been 6-2 before losing last week one other time. They'd actually only been 6-2 twice in their history, and they had only been 7-2 one other time. Ever. So there was a lot of optimism. Beat the Patriots, get yourselves to 7-2 and be ready to go for this game. It didn't happen. All right. So I look at this as somebody is going to get right, or somebody's going to get more right, or righter. Righter isn't necessarily the right grammar. Got a school teacher for a wife, by the way. That's a whole other segment. And in any event, somebody gets a better between the Bills and the Buccaneers on Sunday, because, I mean, we've seen the tape and we've watched some of this. Buffalo didn't exactly perform up the standard down in Miami, and that's being kind. So now we'll see who has their act together come Sunday, and the Bucs looking to refocus for a stretch run that has a ton of home games coming, which I know they're looking forward to.
How impressed are you, and how impressed do you think the fan base is that they have the record they have, considering the caliber of players they've lost, especially on offense? To be down, you know, a certain Hall of Famer in Evans, and Godwin is no slouch either. To be missing them for the amount of time they've been missing them, not to even get to Bucky Irving and then other McMillan, whatever. Like that passing game has taken hits, and Baker managed to kind of stay at a sort of in the MVP conversation for a couple of weeks there, and that seems like it's kind of died down. But I think it's been a pretty good job considering some of the injuries.
Yeah, so far, so good. And you're right. I mean, they have had, and everybody's beat up. You've listed, I heard the laundry list of the Bills injured list. But, I mean, this team came into the beginning of the season knowing that Godwin was a question mark, and Jalen McMillan, who was a star last year, was injured in the preseason finale with the Steelers and suffered an injured neck and is still on injured reserve and may not play this year. They're hoping to have him back in December or late in the year. So you're automatically down, and then once Evans pulled his hamstring first, you're down to wide receiver four, which is a rookie, Emeka Abuka, who's been tremendous. But, I mean, you're playing with wide receiver four, wide receiver five as your primary guys, and you're still succeeding on offense and beating, you know, the Texans in Houston and beating the Seahawks in Seattle and, you know, getting a big win over San Francisco at home, et cetera, et cetera. And you mentioned Bucky Irving. That may be the big key. And on the Buck injury front and on that injury report, he is back practicing for the first time in 6 weeks since the game with the Eagles, where he suffered both a foot injury and a shoulder injury. And the Buccaneers kind of begrudgingly said at least a couple of weeks ago, yeah, the shoulder situation is much worse. And so he practiced in a limited role again today, and it's anybody's guess whether he's going to give it a go here in the game on Sunday. We've still got about 72 hours to figure that out, give or take here, about whether or not he can play. But he's explosive, and he's the real deal. Yeah. Here for this offense. He brings a whole different dimension if he can get out there even at like 75% of Bucky Irving. So stay tuned.
With TJ Reeves, what, if it matters, is the dynamic you think exists with the Bucs and like sort of the season? I mean, they've won the division years in a row, 4 years in a row. Carolina, nobody looks ready to challenge them. Maybe for a minute it did look like Atlanta might. Carolina, it feels like it's probably already theirs. It's the Bills and then the Rams on the road. Do they break ties against playing injured starters who are maybe not ready? Or do you think all that other stuff is irrelevant?
I think currently the mindset is get as many wins into the storehouse here. Stock up for the stretch run of the season, because you will have a chance at that point to maybe be the 3 seed or the 2 seed. They have been in the 4 hole the last 3 years as the fourth division winner in the NFC out of the South. But Philadelphia beat them head-to-head, so did Detroit. But they beat Seattle already this year. They beat San Francisco already this year. And that Rams game will be interesting, too, for that matchup. So, again, I think if you're able to win this game, if you're the Buccaneers, this is how it sets up after that Ram game the week before Thanksgiving. You're going to play 3 in a row with Arizona, yeah, who is shaky at best and no Kyler Murray. Then the Saints, who are awful. You saw them earlier in the year. The Bucs have already beaten them. I know they beat Carolina last week, but they're not good. And then the third of the three is a Thursday night game with Atlanta. You're going to be favored at home, all of them. You're going to be favored in all of those games. So this is why I'm saying that a 7th win here out of this, and or out of the game with the Rams, you're in great position for the final 2 or 3 games of the season to get an 11th win, a 12th win, and move up to like the 3 seed or the 2 seed. That's what everybody down here is talking about. Find a way to go get one of these on the road, and you're going to be in great shape with all of the home games. They're going to play 4 of the final 6 at home, including Carolina, and have a great chance to rack up some wins and help themselves in the seeding in the NFC.
Yeah, you left off after that Atlanta home game, but then, yeah, it's a road game at Carolina, at Miami, and then home for Carolina to close the season. I mean, that
they're going to be favored, yeah, in every one of those games.
After that Ram game, that is cushy.
Yes, so take advantage of those. But, I mean, if you've set yourself up and you've earned this, again, I mentioned it a couple of times, I mean, the schedule maker did this team no favors putting them on the road the first 2 games, including the 2nd game being Monday Night Football at Houston, beat Atlanta and Houston, then had to go all the way out to Seattle and beat them, and then now have this situation where you're going to play the Bills and then come back home and then go play the Rams. Loads of fun with that, but they've at least come through those tests right now with winning some of the games, and this would, again, be a large one on Sunday to get a road win here.
You get your air miles in these 2 games, then you can drive the rest of it from your home games to Carolina.
Yes,
Miami.
You would think. The NASCAR division in full flex at the end of the year, correct, for Tampa Bay.
TJ, I'm interested in your opinion of the Bills. Last week, I liked Miami a lot there, and part of the reason I like a team is when no one else does, so it sort of kind of smells right to me. And, you know, it's narrative street, but the Dolphins just like, I don't know if this is the right time to play a team. They just fired their GM. You know, there's all this pressure around them that might have been a little bit alleviated, and they played loose. They got ahead, Miami, and, you know, kind of cruised. Do you think this is a good time to play the Bills? I mean, it's different than the Dolphin example, I know, but they've got injuries. There is some stress, I think, here internally as well. What they can be on offense, so many guys in and out on defense. A little bit of the, if you will, wounded animal thinking here. Maybe that's good for Tampa. Maybe it's the right time. Maybe it's not. If a team like the Bills that's done so much winning gets kind of riled up, how do you see it?
While we play sports psychologist on the mighty WGR here, I would have rather, if you're giving the choice, have Buffalo scuffled and won the game. And then they're still coming out of it thinking, hey, we're all right, we won the game, blah, blah, blah. I think it was a real wake-up call last Sunday. And I think they realize right now, we got to come out and demonstrate that's not who we are. So that's dangerous if you're the Buccaneers coming in. If Buffalo had stayed in Florida, for example, and was playing the Buccaneers in Tampa this week, that might be a real concern after what you saw. But I think they're going to be focused. I think McDermott's going to have them ready to play. So they want to demonstrate that was an aberration last week. And, you know, from watching what's going on with you guys, when you've run the ball well, I mean, you're in great shape. And James Cook and the two-headed monster, and even Allen getting some rush yards. This team has done very well all year, and really under Todd Bowles' tenure, stopping the run and not letting teams run it on them. The Patriots hit them with the home runs by Travion Henderson, 2 long touchdown runs in the game last week. But That's the thing that concerns me. Do the Bills get right, again, to use that phrase, by running the ball in the bad weather and the wind, et cetera? Are the Buccaneers ready for that? But, yeah, on the psychology part, I think privately if you ask Todd Bowles, he would say, hey, I would have rather that Buffalo had scuffled around, same thing I said, and found a way to win,
yeah.
Because now you're angry, and now you're realizing we're going to fall farther behind in the division and in the playoff race if we don't win this game on Sunday, so it heightens the importance for the Bills.
TJ, before we run out of time, I just want to ask you about how the Baker Mayfield experience has gone for folks in Tampa. Like, what were your expectations? What would your read be of what expectations were when he got there? Because he was very much, to some extent, like a wounded animal, damaged, talking about playing sports psychologist here. And he has looked mostly every bit the guy. I don't know if he had to be the first pick in the draft, but certainly the draft status is not something to be laughed at anymore. He's been good to great year over year now in Tampa. I'm just curious about what that ride has been like in your view.
So the short version, because I know you've got to go, is we didn't really know what to expect, but the Bucs played it perfectly. You can say that in hindsight. They gave him a one-year deal, $4 million is minimum wage money in quarterback standards and quarterback money, and he was willing to take that as a prove-it contract to cash in later. And he's tremendous to deal with, and what a leader, and tough. And he sounded the alarm after last week about how the attention to detail maybe wasn't there, including in-game and in-game adjustments, and said, this has got to stop. If you want to go where this team wants to go, meaning deep into the playoffs and maybe that phrase Super Bowl, you don't make the mistakes that we saw last week against the Patriots. So he's been tremendous. The area has embraced him. The area has always, always embraced the star quarterback of the Buccaneers, whoever it is. And he's played up to that, and he is a leader. And right now this team rolls with him. My phrase for all these interviews and shows, they will follow him into a burning building right now. There's the belief on the metaphor level. They believe in him, and let's see if he makes some magic happen on Sunday. Just real quick, he looked healthier off the bye week last week, moving better, throwing more accurately. That's a good sign coming into this game with the Bills.
We have two or three more minutes if you do. Do you?
Are we going to talk about pizza again?
No,
not go back to that. Or what do you want to utilize the two or three minutes for?
We'll do that. I'll tell you. We'll do that after you're done, so it's not waste any more of your time. But there are football questions. One, how good do you think the Patriots are, having just seen them?
You know, you're going to love this in Buffalo. Unpopular take. I still think they're overrated. I thought they were overrated coming in with the number of wins they've piled up against bad teams. Oh, and here we go again. They get to play the Jets tonight with whatever happens this evening. They made some huge plays. Full credit to them. Full credit to Drake May, who I saw at field level, and you guys saw him in Buffalo back about a month ago or so on that Sunday night game. He stood in there. But to me, that game was there to be had. Credit them for winning. Again, Vrabel's going to, if they find a way tonight, he's going to become like the sixth coach ever in his first season to win eight straight games. So that's not an accident. When you win the third in a row, the fourth in a row, it's not an accident. And now they're all the way up to seven in a row. But I don't foresee them being a team that makes a deep run anyway, anyhow, and I could see this go the other way in a hurry, too. Like, if the Jets surprise them tonight. So that's just me, unpopular take, because everybody in Boston, all the Boston honks that I have that are media people and colleagues and whoever, they're all crowing about this. They hadn't been able to say a word for 4 years, as you guys know, while you've been kicking the crap out of them. But now they're crowing, and let's see how long it lasts for New England. There's my take.
I was in row three for Patriots Bills that Sunday night. Everything about May was a you know, box checked. Even on the sideline, I was in the Patriots sideline, and he was just like, right.
He's impressive. He held in there while getting crushed last week a few times, and obviously Diggs, who's been there. Diggs made some big plays in the game, two or three big catches in the game.
Yep.
It's not as if this is a total accident, what they're doing. I'm just not a big-picture believer in them if they start mixing it up with the best teams in the AFC.
Yeah, I agree. Diggs did that even with those guys in front of me, Bulldog, trying to the extent of being thrown out of the stadium to rattle him. Didn't
yeah,
work.
Yeah.
Come on. Are these guys going to be behind me trying to get after me about the pizza takes and whatever else? WGR? Are they upset? Or what?
No, you're all good. You said you don't think the Patriots are that good, so no one's going to get after
I
you.
I agree.
Yes, the enemy of of my friend. What is it? The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
There it is.
That's what that is. The enemy of the enemy is my friend.
Bulldog and I still have to settle Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Mount Rushmore. Do you have an easy time with four names or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Who's on it, Bulldog? Give me the names.
I've not even started yet. Mike did this exercise earlier today on another podcast.
Leroy Selman.
That was the first name.
Two.
Warren Sapp, if you want. Do you include Tom Brady, who was only here for 3 years, for what he was able to do? Or does that disqualify him because he wasn't here long enough?
I think that that's a joke.
I went Selman, Brooks, Mike Evans, Brady. But Filippone,
Mike Evans has to be there.
Filippone went Sapp over Brady. I just like, you know,
I can't have Brady there.
I want Brady there because
that is your distaste for everything that went on in the 2000s and the 2010s from New England.
Well, it's also that he was there for a cup of coffee with an incredible career he's had. Like, I don't know that
the dude was the leading quarterback in the league the second season as a 44-year-old. He led the league in everything.
Sorry for making this hockey. If the Sabres got the best player in the sport, arguably ever, to come, Patrick Kane could have been this. He was not the best player ever.
Right.
Yeah. If the Sabres got somebody like a legend already established to come to the Sabres and they won, he's on Mount Rushmore even if he scored 8 goals.
Yeah. Like Gretzky late in his career if it had happened,
right?
For example.
That's why I picked Brady because, like, if I'm the Bucks, I'm sort of flaunting it. He picked us.
I'm not coming to your monument.
All right. TJ, it's been fun. Anytime you want to join us, I mean, I probably have other things to do, but...
No. I want to know the outcome. I'll be up there. I'll be around Capaccio. I love Sal. But when you come to a resolution, please relay to me what got discussed on the singular pizza that you two are going to have tomorrow. I got to know.
Okay, we will. Thank you, TJ.
You guys be well. We look forward to Sunday for the Bucks and the Bills.
All right, safe travels, man. Thank you again.
TJ Reeves at Buck Sideline Guy on Twitter. All right, that was a fun ride. No way do you get, like, it's not the pizza for your life, but it's...
No, I have an explanation why I got the white pizza.
Okay.
I'll if we're going to discuss it further, I'll explain.
Fairness to you, you just said it looked good on the menu. That's it.
That's
all you said.
Yes, and something one of the details listed on the menu about it got my attention.
All right, I'm going to try to guess what that is now. Sal will join us at 5-803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog WGR.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. If you have a young Sabres fan in your life who would enjoy exclusive ticket offers, fun gifts, special event invites, why don't you sign them up for the Sabres Kids Club today? Visit sabres.com/kidsclub to join in on all the fun this season. You think back to when you're that age and learning about the game, and so many people influence you on how you see the game, what you read about it, what you hear about it in the form of broadcasts. And Darren Dreger joins us right now, our hockey insider from TSN. And on this day, Darren, the hockey world mourns the passing of longtime writer, contributor, everything to the game, Larry Brooks, famous for his time with the New York Post, but he did so much within the game. And of course, honored by the Hockey Hall of Fame. How do you put into words what Larry did within this industry, like the media industry, but kind of his impact beyond that, based on, you know, how I described how we learn the game sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to try and measure by today's standards, Larry Brooks had no equal. He didn't, you know. A throwback to a style of journalism where, you know, you weren't afraid to call it like you saw it. He was always well-sourced. As far as the world of the insiders go, you know, I always give Bobby McKenzie credit for being the pioneer. But, you know, along the same path of Bob McKenzie was Larry Brooks, Scott Morrison. I mean, go down the list of those great, authentic columnists and hockey reporters. And Larry was at the forefront for a long, long time, decades. And, you know, we all had the privilege. Obviously, Marty, you would work closely with Larry during your time with the New York Rangers. Duffer, I mean, you were around scrums with Larry involved, covered stories that Larry was involved. For me, it was must read. You know, the New York Post was must read, whether the New York Rangers, the New York Islanders, the New Jersey Devils were winning or they were losing. And especially as you got closer to the NHL trade deadline, because when Larry reported something specific to one of those three teams, primarily the Rangers, you went, I mean, and he had some big, big stuff, like stuff where guys like me would kind of tiptoe a little bit. You know, you'd kind of nibble at the story. Nope, Larry never nibbled. Like, he'd swing with the Louisville Slugger, and more often than not, he was right. Sometimes he was wrong, but he owned everything. So he could cut a player to shreds. And Marty, I think this would have been your experience, not personally, but he would cut an individual player, a team, a coach to shreds and be in that dressing room the next morning to face the music. Again, I, you know, on X this morning, I describe him, you know, we always throw out those cliches, right? Legendary, iconic, all of those things. But when you think of the work, the stories told, the cutting opinion of Larry Brooks, I mean, those words describe the man that he was. So it's a tough, tough loss for our industry because, again, what he brought, we don't have enough of, in my opinion, in today's game.
In our Buffalo market, I think Larry Brooks probably resembles most Jim Kelly, the hockey writer, for years, right? Like, Jim Kelly was like that. Like, you respected him so much, but he had no issue stirring the pot if he saw there was a story. And it was usually, like, all accurate. Now, my time with the Rangers was interesting because I saw Henrik Lundqvist post a picture of a scrum. He's sitting at his stall, and Larry Brooks is asking question. And I said, I was always on the outside of that frame, right? I was the next stall over. And then after he was done talking with Lundqvist and his stuff, he would come sit down next to me, and we would just, you know, chit-chat about the game, about what happened in this market, that coach, that player, you know. And it was so interesting. And I'll tell you another quick story about Larry Brooks. So we would play a game where we would win or lose, but usually in the loss, we wouldn't really talk about it, but in the wins, and if there was a controversial moment, we would rush to the TV in the lounge and catch John Tortorella's presser and see if him and Larry Brooks were going to go at it. Well, the respect was mutual because I believe Torts reached out and called Brooksy this past week because they had kept in touch, right, over the years, despite the battles. So that was sad. He's just a young man, 75, but obviously
tough battle.
And we lost a giant for sure. Someone that he used to ask me, can I call you for a quote? And I said to Brooksy, I said, I trust you. If it sounds like something I would say, just put my name to it. I'm totally fine for it.
Come on.
he never threw me under the bus. It was fine. But if you need a quote, just say, like, if it sounds like something I'd say, just use it.
Wow. I love the words, Darren. It's very applicable, appropriate, you know, at a time like this to really understand why a person earned the stature that they had within the game. And of course, you speak of a market like New York. There are many across the league that are hot button places, and whether it's winning, losing, injuries, the stories never seem to end. And Toronto is caught in that cycle right now, right?
Right.
With injuries and lack of performance. What's the latest with the Leafs? And if you see anything changing here in the short term, and if so, how does that change for them?
Well, I mean, if there's going to be change, it has to happen internally. You know, the players have got to commit to playing the way that Craig Berube has insisted they play, and they haven't done that with any level of consistency this year. And what makes it curious here, fellas, sure, there's change. I mean, Mitch Marner isn't in the lineup. You know, it's not the same team it was a year ago, but they played more of the brand of hockey, that north-south, hard-checking, forechecking style that Berube demands last year than they're playing with this year. And you're right, now they're facing injury. Auston Matthews got hurt Tuesday against the Boston Bruins. The Leafs went out of their way to say that it wasn't the Zadorov hit. So maybe it was a follow-up shift where he chased Zadorov into the corner and tried to knock him over unsuccessfully because he didn't finish the hockey game. Now, the expectation is that he'll miss a week or less. But history tells us with Austin Matthews, that's never etched in stone, right? I mean, let's see how he feels. It's important to the team that their captain be as close to 100% as he can be. So if it's 5 days or less, that's a win for the Leafs. If it's 7 days, okay, you live with it. If it gets to be 10 or 14, well, now you're revisiting recent history and the concern meter goes up. Anthony Stolarz also didn't come back in the second period in that game. They said upper body, something that he did in the first period. He does seem day to day, might miss a game or two. So they've got Oktyamov coming up. They've got Joe Wall, who's been playing in the American League. He needs just a day of rest. And then I think he'll rejoin the Toronto Maple Leafs. So they've added injury to the insult of the way they've played. So we'll see whether or not they can kind of get it back on track against a real good, heavy, talented team in the Los Angeles Kings. It's a tough test tonight.
When we talk about injuries, especially to goaltenders, you know, there was a night Tuesday where a lot of goalies got run over, a lot of goalies got hurt. Freddie Anderson, but the big one that I'm like just sick by it is Thatcher Demko. With Thatcher Demko's importance to the Vancouver Canucks, being an Olympic year, the battle that he's had, and now, you know, so what do we know on Thatcher Demko, and where is that going to go for the Canucks?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we don't know is where does it go for the Vancouver Canucks. What we do know is that when they're winning games, a good percentage of why is because of Thatcher Demko and the level of goaltending that he has been giving the Canucks this season, play with good health. So it's a brutal blow. We don't really know officially how long he's going to be out. There's been reporting that it could be 2 to 3 weeks. I'm not getting that full sense from the Vancouver Canucks, but nor are they saying that, no, you know, he's not going to be out more than a handful of days. So we're going to have to wait and see and let it play out. Definitely lower body. You know, we could see where he tweaked something. Is it leg? Is it groin? Doesn't really matter. It's just going to be a challenge moving forward here. And then you look at it from a player perspective, not an organizational perspective, because his loss is obvious. Thatcher Demko has been through so much. He had just hoped that this guy would be able to have a full season under his belt and be able to avoid something like Olympics aside, if he comes back and he's healthy, he's got to be in the mix, obviously, for Team USA. I mean, he's that quality, he's close to the level of elite in my mind. So we'll give him the benefit of the doubt and hope that it's not too serious. But this is a near crushing blow for the Vancouver Canucks, given where they sit in the West.
What about here in Buffalo with the number of injuries for this team and the absence of Rasmus Dahlin and the recent run of losses? You know, is there anything that could be closer to imminent to try to, you know, help the here and the now?
Not really, man. And it, you know what I'm learning more and more, and whether this applies to what Buffalo is going through. I mean, look at the, you know, Vancouver has had their share of injuries, as we've talked about. I think the Tampa Bay Lightning, what did they play with? 7 regulars out of their lineup last night. Now, they took it on the chin, but, you know, they didn't play with a full complement by any stretch. More and more, I'm hearing some low-level grumbling from general managers about the American Hockey League rule, which, by the way, was pushed in the new CBA by the NHL Players Association, whereby, you know, if you waive a player and send that player down, that player's got to play in the American Hockey League at least one game before getting called back up. Well, the issue with that is, you know, most AHL games, as you guys know, are played on the weekend, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So because of how condensed the schedule is, teams are finding it really, really difficult to manage through situations like this, because it's not just about, you know, worrying about your cap. Not every player who gets injured automatically goes on long-term injury or goes on injured reserve, right? Sometimes you got to deal with it for a few days and you hope for the best. But their lineups are being, you know, turned into Swiss cheese because of what they're dealing with at the American Hockey League level as well. So, you know what? It's cliche, but it is next man up. That's the way it is in Buffalo, and that's the way it is with a lot of clubs around the NHL.
Dregs, we have a poll on X right now at Sabres Live that basically reads this. Assuming Joe Sakic makes the cut, who do you leave off the Colorado Avalanche Mount Rushmore after all careers are said and done? So you can only pick four, right? Joe Sakic is one of them.
Yeah.
So who out of these four guys don't make Mount Rushmore? Patrick Roy, Cale Makar, Peter Forsberg, or Nathan MacKinnon? One of them is not going to go on that Mount Rushmore.
Oh, boy. Makar, Forsberg, MacKinnon.
And Roy.
Oh. Jeez, that's a tough one. Maybe Forsberg?
Yes.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
And I love Peter Forsberg.
Like, it's so painful to say it out loud. So ridiculous. What a question. How do you come up with that one?
Well, because we're playing Colorado tonight, and we'd like to kind of associate to the Mount Rushmore things and whatnot. And then you're like, man, Colorado has had so many great players that it's like hard.
Yeah.
I have an easier question for you. MacKinnon leads the league in scoring. Carlson, Celebrini, and Bedard are tied for second. Who emerges as second best to Makar or MacKinnon this year?
Celebrini, I think. He's got a more complete game, and I know that that doesn't necessarily bode to what you're suggesting in terms of productivity and whatnot, but he's right there. I just feel like he's probably physically better prepared to manage a long season. You know, like this kid just battles, right? He's got a full drive engine. Leo Carlson's having a great year, so it's impossible to throw him under the bus. And likewise for Connor Bedard, who's a great story because of the bounce back, but I'd still have Celebrini as my top pick.
All three of them going to be at the Olympics? Carlson's going to be on Team Sweden, but Celebrini and Bedard, are they on Team Canada?
Not necessarily. As we have this conversation today, I would say no. Is there a strong chance that Bedard forces their hand? Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if he doesn't take his foot off the pedal and he continues to play the way that he is, I don't care what his birth certificate looks like. It doesn't matter to me. Agreed. If he's one of Canada's best forwards, then how do you turn your back on that when you go to you're going to hurt feelings. Yes. I mean, is it Shifley? Is it Suzuki? Who is it? I don't know. You're going to hurt feelings. So what? Put the best team on the ice and he might be part of it.
Darren, thank you for the thoughtful insight on Larry Brooks and everything else. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys, have a good weekend.
Darren Dreger, hockey insider from TSN. We're getting back to Nashville in January. It's a road crew party. Hope you'll join us. It's going to be amazing. We have alumni, tons of Sabres fans, obviously, and your opportunity to enjoy this Monday afternoon, January 19th, watch party. Sabres will be in Carolina. We'll watch it together, have tons of fun, and then, of course, the Sabres will be in Nashville the very next night. So hopefully you make a little bit of an early week or extended weekend out of your trip to Nashville. Secure your spot at Sabres.com/road crew. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.